We all deal with fears. Fears are very real. And not necessarily all fears are bad. You know, there's certain good fears, like, I mean, I'm not a big fan of heights, and so, you know, it keeps me grounded. Yeah, I can always count on George. Any pun I got, George has got the O back there. So it's just automatic. I'm going to do it next time with you. Let's talk about the fear of failure. We've all dealt with it. Anybody dealt with the fear of failure? You stepped out trying to do something and immediately you started talking yourself out of it. Or someone else started trying to talk you out of it. Or you were physically intimidated or emotionally intimidated. You didn't quite want to step up to the... We all deal with that. You have you're dreaming big dreams. God's even putting big dreams in your heart. And you're dreaming these dreams, but there's an intimidation factor. Who does that come from? It's not coming from God. God's calling you to do something. The enemy is coming against you with intimidation. You're dreaming big dreams of accomplishing great things. And by the way, it's okay to dream. It's free. It doesn't cost anything to dream. Ask God to give you big dreams, big plans. And by the way, if He gives you a dream, ask Him to give you a dream that's so big that when it comes to pass, you can't even take credit for it. It's all about what God's done. The dreams that you have, the goals that you have, the things that maybe you feel like God's put in your heart, maybe they seem like they're too huge, they're maybe audacious, but know this, God is with you. And I want to encourage you today that there have been plenty of failures that have come before you. We just finished a series called Big Shoes. We could have focused on all the failures in the Old Testament, because there's a whole lot of them. By the way, some of the big shoes that we talked about were also big failures. That's how I know that my God knows how to take a big failure and turn him into a big pastor. Have big shoes. God knows how to choose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I know God can do that. We don't need to feel too badly if you've ever failed or if you're dealing with the fear of failure. It's a pretty common thing. But as we look at the scripture, we can see a lot of examples of failures. Moses, he completely failed. He questioned God's choice of choosing him when he was standing at the burning bush. Fail. Jonah took off running in the opposite direction of Nineveh. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, boop, exit, stage left. He got out of there. Failure. Colossal fail. Didn't do any good. It was a colossal fail. Jeremiah told the Lord that he thought he was too young. John Mark abandoned Paul on one of his missionary expeditions. Gideon trembled at the thought of being God's man to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. After an amazing show of God's power on Mount Carmel, Elijah gets freaked out and goes running for his life. There were the 10 spies that caused all of the children of Israel to wander around for 40 years and waste 40 years of their destiny because of fear. And then there is the parable that Jesus tells about the man with one talent. And because of fear, I was afraid that the master would return and wonder what I did. Yeah, he did return and ask you what you did with the talent. And what did you do? You buried it. So the master did what? He said, take that talent away and give it to the person that's going to do something with it. That's a great lesson to stop at for a moment. You have gifts and talents and abilities that God's given you. You should put them to work. You should find a place to utilize them. If you haven't found a place to serve around here, I got news for you. If you see me coming with a smile, I'm looking. We're going to put you to work. I know that there's a lot of reasons for a fear of failure. One of the reasons why I struggle personally, I'll just be transparent for a moment, with the fear of failure was, and a lot of us have struggled with this, things that were spoken over us when we were younger. We're believing something that was spoken over us when we were younger. And we're taking that on and we own that thing. And so then we go to try and do something for the Lord or try and follow God. Like for, in my case, specifically to go out and be a pastor. And I as I was moving out into being a pastor and I mean, throughout most of my adult life, while my mom was still alive, and I'm not dogging on my mom at all. I love her to death, but she would say things like, why don't you get your teaching credential so you have something to fall back on? Because if I had a teaching credential, I would have fallen back on it. Many times. I probably would have quit. But I like living life without a net. I like getting out there and trusting God. I was a little bit like the guy walking over the volcano the other night. I was a little bit like that. I just stepped out in faith, believing. Trust me, there's plenty of fear involved in that. There was intimidation involved in that. There were people that questioned the call of God on my life. One of the reasons that I struggle a lot with fear, or one of the symptoms, if you will, that you'll know that you struggle with fear is procrastination. Anybody want to be honest and say you struggle with procrastination from time to time? A lot of times it's a fear of failure. It's at the core of that. Tomorrow. You know, we do that with diets. Like, you're going to do that today. Like, none of you are going to diet today. You're going to diet tomorrow. Right? It's Monday. It's tomorrow. Not on Sunday. The buffets are open on Sunday. I found out they're open on Monday too, by the way. I just letting you know. Procrastination will cause you to back off the dreams and the plans that God has for your life. Remember I talked about last week how the fear of being alone will cause you to stay in a relationship that's completely dysfunctional? Well, the fear of changing your life might cause you to stay in a discontented job because you're afraid to step out. Maybe God has bigger plans for you, bigger dreams for you. And maybe you, in a sense, you kind of know it, but it's just easier to stay where you got, well, I'm already got to pay. Why rock the boat? If I step up now, I got to learn something new. I'm going to have to retrain myself. You know, I won't know anybody in the new place. Fear of failure will cause us to shrink back from those things. There's also some people who struggle with the fear of failure, and they're too concerned about what other people think. And it adds to this fear of failure equation. If I'm more concerned about what you think than what God thinks, I'm going to fear failure. I'm going to be concerned about, I'm stepping out, but what are people going to think? They don't think that much about you anyway. You probably need to, they're thinking more about their lives than you think. Trust me. Sometimes people, and please, if any of these symptoms like hit you, don't say ouch. Just relax and just, God's got something for you. But I know that this also happens with people with a fear of failure. Physical and emotional symptoms happen. You begin to fixate on the possibility that you might fail. And it begins to give you anxiety. You become anxious about this thing. And listen, the wisest approach to overcoming anxiety is to not settle for second best. To know that God has first best for you. God has a plan for your life. We were just talking, George and I were just talking. There are no second-class citizens. We have a God that does. He wants you to know you're a first-class citizen in His book. You don't have to hold back. You don't need to be intimidated. You don't need to have anxiety about using. But it's normal. It's natural. It's understandable. But we're talking about overcoming it, right? With the fear of God in our lives and not the fear of man. Other people just settle into a non-proactive approach to their future. I mean, the alarm just goes off and they get up and, you know, life just happens to them. Life's doing them. They're not doing life. It's just reaction. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. I just dated myself. All the ones that are laughing know what I'm talking about. The rest are going, he just started speaking in tongues all of a sudden in the middle of a sermon. We have this non-proactive approach. We'll settle into mediocrity. And if you're experiencing any of those symptoms today, I want you to know God's going to drop some big dream in your heart, some big dreams in your life. And I know that the enemy's going to try and get you to back off. But if you won't back off and you'll apply these four truths I'm about to give you from the Word of God, I believe you'll overcome the fear of failure. Who wants to overcome? Well, I don't know what service this is, but only a few of you want to overcome. The rest of you want to stay bound in the fear of failure. Okay, that's all right. You didn't respond, but that's fine. Let's just move on. The very first thing I think we should do if we want to be followers of Jesus and overcome the fear of failure is, number one, focus. They all start with F. Focus on the presence of God in your life and the purpose of God in your life. What are you focused on? God's called you to do something. The enemy is immediately coming in with an intimidation factor. Focus on what God's saying. Focus on Him. We need to remind ourselves every single day, like we learned last week, that we're not only are we not alone, that God's with us. And He's with us because He values who you are. You are valuable to God. He wants to be with you. He wants fellowship with you. He has a call and a plan on your life. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God." In other words, they're cheap. Cheap. No big deal. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He says, don't be afraid. You're worth more than any sparrows. You're worth more than sparrows. And He has every hair on your head numbered. He doesn't have to go very high to number my hairs. Just go a little higher with James. But He knows exactly, God is into the finest detail. He knows what hair fell out in the shower today. He knows which number fell out. That's our God. He's looking after every detail. So we should focus on God's presence and His purpose in our life. He's with us, and he knows every single detail. So our job is not to focus on all the unknowns, because that's one of the first things that happens. Well, what if? We get into the what if game. We start questioning, what if, what if? And it's okay to at least count the cost and at least, you know, consider the issue before you move forward. But if God's telling you to do something, step out in faith. We need to do everything in our power to enhance God's presence in our life. And how do we do that? How do we guarantee to stay strong and have the strong presence of God in our lives in the midst of a fear of failure? Look what it says in this next scripture. Just circle the first word. What is it? Say it out loud. Everybody together? 1, 2, 3. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge it, and he will direct your paths. Interestingly, the scripture goes on in 1 Chronicles and says, you will have success if you're careful to observe the decrees and laws of the Lord that Moses gave Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. King David was telling his soon-to-be king, his son, I will guarantee you that the enemy is not going to back off of you. You step out, trust me, church, you step out to try and do anything for God, you have just become a target for the enemy. Pastor, that's why I'm not going to do anything for God. Well, that's way lower than where God's calling you to live. Way low. God has much more for you than that. He's with you. And because he's with you and you're observing God's ways, you don't have to be afraid because God is with you. You're never alone. You don't have to be afraid. Along the same line, when we focus on putting our confidence in God, confidence in his presence, confidence in his purpose, it gives us the confidence to, number two, have faith. Have faith that what God thinks of us is infinitely more valuable than what man thinks of us. Let me say it in a shorter way. What God thinks of me this morning is way more important than what you think of me this morning. I do want you to like me, but it's not as important as having God like me. It's not as important as pleasing my Father. Galatians 1:10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of God or of men? If I'm still trying to please men, I'm not a true servant of Christ. Look it up, Galatians 1:10. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. And oh, by the way, if I'm spending all my time pleasing God, I will find favor in the eyes of man. People will say, you know, that guy's doing it the right way. That's amazing. We just need to worry about pleasing God. Here's what the scripture says. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. You know what a snare looks like, right? How many of you, when you were kids, you set the little shoebox up with the twig and you threw some breadcrumbs under? Okay, all the guys that did this, nod at me. Okay, I can see you. I caught a bird one time. I didn't know what to do. It freaked me out. I just let it go. But it freaked me out. Like, oh, I caught it. You know, didn't. That's what happens. You set up to start to do something. The enemy comes in with this fear of failure, and it's like a snare. It's like a trap, and it'll keep you trapped. It'll keep you bound. It'll keep you almost paralyzed from doing the very thing God wants you to do. Fear of what others think can strangle us instantaneously. We get ready to step out, and we start immediately looking to see who's watching. Who's looking? Who's paying attention? Are they going to ridicule me? Am I going to stick out? David gives us a response that we ought to have when we're tempted to be afraid of what other people think of us. Here's what he said. When I'm hard pressed, I cried out to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? In other words, he's saying, you know, I was having a hard day, but it's more important what God thinks of me than what people think of me. What are they going to do anyway? What are they going to do anyway? I need to be more concerned of what God's saying about me. Jesus tells Peter upon his confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that Jesus was going to build his church on that rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against him. But he goes on to tell him, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I love that. He says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, we have a destiny and a call from God. And we need to step out and not fear failure. We overcome our fear of failure by trusting that God is with us and that ultimately there's no reason for any person to fear a person or even any demon. Bring it on. Pastor, what'd you say? Sometimes I say that to the enemy. I'm not joking. I'll say, is that all you got? It'll be a flat tire or something. And rather than it mess me up, I'll just, what? You're going to throw me off my game with that? That's all you got? And the enemy goes, no, I'll show you some more. And I'm like, okay. But here's the deal. If God be for me, thank you. I've got God on my side. Hello. I'm not afraid. Not afraid of that specific thing. I say in Jesus' name, I might be hard pressed, but listen, what can mere mortals do to me? The enemy can't even do it to me. I'm confessing right now. He's going to give me the keys of the kingdom. God is for me. Who can be against me? He didn't spare his own son, but he gave him up for me. He'll not only also, along with him, graciously give us all things. Let me just say this. Life's way too short to spend it trying to please people who don't sit on a throne anyway. I'm here to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He sits on the throne. He sits on the throne of my heart. And while it's very important to me as a human being to make sure I'm liked and that you know, when you see me, you're not diving behind bushes. Oh, here he comes. You know, that's important in that sense, but it really is more important that God cares and God sees me and he cares about what I'm doing, that I've got his favor in my life. God is with us. He's given us authority over every threat in our lives. We just know that. By the way, if I have to win your approval to get your approval, it wasn't worth having. Now, I don't mean that in a mean way. Think about it. Suck that up for yourself. If you've got to go out and win somebody's approval to get their approval, it's not worth having. Aren't you grateful for a gracious God that looks at you and loves you right where you're at? He already loves you. He can't love you any more than he already does. He's lavished you with his love. And so trust in his love. So, okay, trust God's purpose and plan for your life. Be grateful that ultimately you don't need to focus on what people are thinking. You just need to focus on pleasing God. But like a lot of principles in God's kingdom about overcoming fear, it also takes an element that we do our part. And so that's the next thing, and that's number three. And that's fan into flame your God-given gifts. God distributes the gifts. Our job is to fan them into flame. In other words, you get a gift, but if God gives you a gift, what's he expect for you to do with it? Like put it on a shelf and go, oh, look at that. No, he wants you to put it to good use. He wants you to share your gift. God distributes the gifts. He says to fan it into flame. Paul writes to Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So you've got these giftings, these callings, these abilities. They're inside. They're stirring on the inside of you. You're trying to step out and the enemy's trying to intimidate you with fear. Step out and trust that God gave you. He didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And you can do it. With God's help. You're not alone. You can do it with his help. Paul knew that Timothy was going to be hit with the fear of failing. Paul had experienced that. He'd experienced the same exact thing, the fear of failure. And look how Paul writes his first words to the church at Corinth. It ought to give us hope. Every single one of us ought to get hope about this in terms of using our gifts for God. He says, and so it is with me. Paul writing, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you with the testimony about the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now look at this. I came to you in weakness. This is Paul talking. Like, this dude's a stud. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. In other words, he was probably like me, stumbling over his words on a Sunday morning from time to time. But God still knew how to use him. He said, but I came not with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I'm telling you this. I love it when solid, powerful people show their transparency. There's a reason I had to get here early this morning. It was to pray, not to overcome a slack of sleep in my life, but to overcome a lack of faith in my life. I needed to make sure I got here and got my faith built up and ready to go and filled with the anointing of God to be able to present the gospel here in this place. I come to you this morning, not with eloquence. You're like, yeah, we can hear. I come to you believing for a demonstration of God's power. And it's not going to be through words. It's going to be through the strength and the power of God. It's going to be through his word. To each of us, the Holy Spirit would say to us today, listen, hear me. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. I have to read it because I even put it in quotes. I feel like the Holy Spirit said this directly. So listen. Okay. You're afraid. You're afraid to do the thing that I've asked you to do. I get it. Everybody that I ask to do big things is attacked by Satan. But with the same fear of failing, you're attacked with the same fear of failing. But you can do it. Now get ready and prepare yourself to go do it, even though you may have to do it while at first you're afraid. There's always that first step. There's always the first person to do something. When was the last time you did something for the first time? Like trust God in a new area. Stepped out in a new area. Believe God. I've often thought about this. Who's the first person to try an egg? You ever think about who's the first to do stuff like? I think about that. Like someone had to be first. And I'm kind of, and everybody looking at him must have went, what is that guy doing? When was the last time you did something for the first time and risked the ridicule of people around you and stepped out to do something that was insanely innovative and amazing because God put it in your heart and you stepped out to do that thing anyway? We don't do it in our own power, but we fan into flame the gift of God. What happens many times is we'll sabotage our own success by not trying to do our best. In fact, we'll step out and we might even give it a half-hearted try. Maybe we'll give it all of our effort and then we fail. And then we'll say something like this, see, I knew it. You talked yourself out of it before you started. You shouldn't have even done it. See, I knew this wasn't going to work out. You knew it wasn't. If you knew it wasn't going to work out, why'd you do it? No, I thought it might work out, but I knew God was bigger, so I stepped out and I did it. That's what we need to do. Let faith arise in the situation. Fan into flame the gift of God. Don't just settle for failure and talk yourself out of it. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of self-control. See, when we do our part, God does His part. All He asks for you to do is offer Him what you have in your hands. And you're like, what I have in my hands is so insignificant. That's the point. God can use the most insignificant thing and blow the minds of people around us. He turned water into wine. He spit in the mud and rubbed it on a guy's eye. Talk about doing something for the first time. That might have been the last time he did that for the first time. He spit on another guy's tongue. There's way too much virus going on for that right now. You got the. I made this up last night. Heineken hives, Michelob measles, and the coronavirus. No, I'm just playing. I come against all that in the name of Jesus, by the way. While we're binding and loosing things, Father, in Jesus' name, we bind on earth what doesn't exist in heaven. That stuff doesn't exist. And so, God, we just declare your word over us, over this body, and over this people. In Jesus' name, that thing has to begin to die and back up. And, Lord, we pray protection over every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for letting me turn something funny into something spiritual right there. Because it's very important that we go to the Lord. Each of us ought to discipline ourselves to do our very best. And then, worship team, I want you to come. And then accept the fact that there's always going to be temporary setbacks. No one succeeds at everything. I hope that would be a lot more powerful than that. Because you're like, well, what's the point? The point is, why? How did you expect that you... No one succeeds at everything. Failure's a part of life. You try something, you fail. You try something, you fail. Failure happens. Nobody ascends straight to the top of their mountain without some setbacks along the way. Paul said, I consider that our present sufferings aren't even worth comparing to the glory of God that's going to be revealed to us. You're climbing a mountain. I don't know what your relationship with God was like or your journey has been like, but my journey looks really weird. My journey, if you were to follow it on a map, you know how they have these run trackers that like weird people that run have, and you can follow it. I'm just playing with you guys because I know you're thinking. Anyway, but my pathway between the day I got saved and the day I ended up in heaven, thus far, the path doesn't look like this. It looks like this. There have been a few U-turns along the way. Thank God for U-turns. Thank God that He can overcome any mistake I ever make, any failure I ever find myself into. And so what's my next point? And that's last this. Forget what's behind. Everybody fails. We've all failed. Guess what you just did when you failed? You found out another way not to do it. Yeah, nobody's dry. You got GPS on your phones? Or in your cars, anybody? Nobody's driving, following the GPS. You think you're doing the right thing, or before GPS, you're following your wife. And you end up at a dead end. Nobody goes, "Huh, can't believe it. I thought I was doing the right thing. I'm now at a dead end. I'll just die right here. I don't even deserve to drive. I don't even know why God gave me a car to begin with. Everybody was right. I would never be a good driver. Here I am. I might as well die in the cul-de-sac. I'm having fun." But a lot of Christians do exactly that. They're going along. They're doing good. They're following God. They're pursuing the Lord. And then something happens. They trip. They fall. They get distracted. You don't die there. You get up. You confess your sins to God because He's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. And then you keep on stepping with the Lord. The fear of failure will cause us to stop and to stop stepping forward with what God has. We need to forget what's behind and press on. We need to realize that there is a rearview mirror about that size, but there is a window in front of us that's great big, and our future is brighter than our past. And our past is okay to look back at. Whoa, look what I came through. But don't look there for very long, because what happens if you look there for very long? Thank you. Let's focus on what God, forgetting what is behind, I press on towards the mire. Paul said, not that I've already obtained this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of what Christ Jesus took a hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let me say this. That word strain there, you see that word strain? Straining. We're not to strain for the love of God. You don't have to strain for that. It's already here. It's already yours. He loves you, couldn't love you anymore. This is not about straining for His love. If I work real hard, if I strain real hard, if I wear myself out, if I burn myself out, where does God get the glory in you burning yourself out? We do all this work. I'm going, that's not what it's about. We're not straining to get God to love us more. He already loves us. We're straining because God's got a plan and a destiny and a dream for us. And so we strain for that. It's a goal, God's goal for us. It's inevitable that you're going to experience failure in your life. It's inevitable that as you're pursuing God and pursuing success, you're going to trip and fall. The reality is you're probably going to fail more times in life than you succeed. That's just the truth. And here's what I'd love for you to say the next time you fail. Just have this in your back of your mind. Next time I'll fail better. You know, I'm going to fail better next time. What do I mean by that? You know, we can trip and fall, but it's how quick you get up. It's how quick you keep moving. You get up. I'm going to fail better next time. Next time, whatever it was that I needed to learn in that lesson, I learned it. Oh, I don't have to go back there again. That's failing good. I learned everything I needed to learn. I'm going to feel better next time. Failure should be our teacher, not our undertaker. A lot of folks just let it bury them in the cul-de-sac. We blew it. Should have listened to my wife. You should have, by the way. Just saying. Failure is just delay, not defeat. It's just delay. It's just, you just found another way not to do it. Don't do it that way again. If you keep doing it again, you do like what Proverbs says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so does a fool to his folly. Yeah, don't go. If you learn the lesson, don't go back there. That was a mess. I put this quote in your notes for your benefit. Failure is something we can avoid only by saying nothing, doing nothing, and being nothing. I really don't want to try and be super provocative with what I'm about to say. It's kind of meant in humor, but not really. So you might giggle for a minute, but I want it to really sink in. Because the difference between whether we're going to move into all that God has for us in our lives, the difference between whether we're going to deal with failure and be buried by failure, listen, the difference is the size of your butt. Let it sink in for just a second, because that's exactly what's going on. God calls you to do something. But God, I stutter. But God, we start talking God. But God, I can't do that. God tells you to give a special, well, heart for the house. God wants me to do something special. What? That's half my income. But God, how are you going to pray? But my God shall supply all your needs. Here's what I came to say. How the size of your butt doesn't come close to the size of God's butt. I know you're laughing, but let it sink in. You're talking yourself out of it. God's trying to talk you into it. You're saying it can't happen. God's saying it can. You can do all things. Hello. Genesis says, you intended harm on me, but God. See, but God. God's butt's bigger. But God intended for it to good, for it to be good. My flesh and my heart were failing. I was struggling. I was failing. But God is the strength of my heart. I was in deep in sin. I was a mess. But God is faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. See, God's butt's bigger than your butt. I don't know if I ever go to church, the place will burn down. God's butt's bigger than your butt. He says he'll forgive every one of your sins. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I don't know if I can do this. Pastor, God's calling me to do this thing. I'm not sure if I can do it. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. From now on, when you think of God and his B-U-T, it's spelled with all capitals. It's bigger than anything you're trying to talk yourself out of. You can trust him today. Amen.